It is 7 of p.m., and it is rock solid faith. Step what?
One.
Step.
One.
Step.
One.
Step.
One.
You confuse me. Spilled my water. So tonight we're going to start. We're in step one, and we are on chapter 9 on the laying on of hands. I want to remind you that this is elementary principles. Tonight's a real fun night because I want to teach you how to increase the anointing and how to release the anointing. That's very important. Not just that you are anointed, turn to someone and say, I'm anointed, but how to get it out of you. I want to remind you that the Bible says the anointing is where? In you. Turn to someone and say, I'm anointed. The anointing is in you. You know, the Bible talks about how it's important to know who you are in Christ. And the anointing being in you, you don't have to wait for it to come on you. So it's good that it comes on you. If you remember, the Bible says in the Old Testament, the anointing came upon the kings, the priests, and the prophets. But in the New Testament, Jesus is a mediator of a new and a better covenant with better promises. The anointing is where? Is in you. So if the anointing is in you, to get the anointing out of you is the key. So what is the anointing? The anointing is the perpetual propulsion of the power of God. The anointing is the energy, the power that comes from the Holy Spirit. So the energy is not the Holy Spirit. The power is not the Holy Spirit, but it comes from the Holy Spirit. And so there's a need to know how to release the power of God. It's not by might, it's not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. We also know that the Bible says that it's the anointing that destroys every yoke of bondage in Isaiah. So all these are what we already went over last week, so I'm just going over quickly. So it's important to recognize that the anointing that's in you, God has placed inside of you to do supernatural exploits. I love what Jesus said in John chapter 14, that you shall do greater works than he does because he's gone to the Father. Well, why is that so powerful? Because when Jesus died and rose from the dead, he sent the Holy Spirit. Where does the Holy Spirit abide? Where does the Holy Spirit abide? In you. So you are possessed. So the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, Romans chapter 8, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells where? Dwells in you. So if Jesus did the supernatural works of God, then you can do the supernatural works of God. Amen? But that doesn't come through our natural power. That comes through God's supernatural power. So when we were down in Mexico, a lady came up and she has had arthritis in her hand. And her two bones, her middle fingers, you could actually see they were stiff. They were not moving and there was pain in her body. I laid hands on her in the name of Jesus. I said, in Christ's name, in Jesus' name, I command arthritis to leave your body. And I said, now I want you to check. So she did all the checking. Everything's moving. Everything was back to normal. Why is that? Because in the name of Jesus, when the anointing is released, it does supernatural power. That is not your power, but not natural power, but supernatural. And that means you and I are positioned to be used by the Holy Spirit. Remember, when Jesus was on this earth, how many Jesuses were on the earth? One. But when Jesus died and rose from the dead, how many Christ-filled people are now on the earth? All those who call themselves believers. And that's why Jesus said, greater works shall you do because I go to the Father. You are not neutered. You are powerful. You are not weak. You are strong. God wants to use you in a supernatural way. And until we realize that, then we just walk around with a little tag on our head saying, I'm going to heaven. But the Bible says that in the name of Jesus, you shall cast out devils. You shall speak with new tongues. If you touch any deadly thing, it shall not harm you. It's Mark chapter 15, verse 17. And when you lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. That's talking to you. You are powerful people. The anointing is dwelling inside of you. The supernatural power of God is waiting to come out of you. Well, why is that? Because God wants to evidence himself to people, to show himself that he is powerful, that he is God, that he is powerful and wants to change lives. So you and I are change agents. You and I are not just people that have the tag that says Christian and I go to church every once in a while. and hopefully I make it by. This is about you and I going into the world as the salt and the light being used in a supernatural dimension of God to bring change into people's lives. That's why you're here. That's why you're still breathing. Your purpose isn't over. But your purpose outside of God's anointing is just temporary. How many of you know a lot of nice people that do nice things? That's great. Nice people that do nice things. But it doesn't change anybody. The only thing that changes is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's the power of God that gets in and changes a life. So it's important that we recognize that every single believer is anointed. This is where we left off last week. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Turn to somebody and say, I'm anointed. 1 John 2:27, but the anointing which you have received from Jesus abides in you. What's the word abide mean? It dwells. Resident. He's not picking up sticks and going home every night. He's there dwelling inside of you. Now, the Bible also says that Jesus did not do any supernatural acts until when? Until he was anointed. So Jesus, we know, was born. That's a good thing, right? Born of a virgin. He grew up in Joseph's home. Who's Joseph? His dad. His dad was he wasn't his blood dad. That's God by the Holy Ghost. But he was, Mary was, oh, come on, we just can't go that far. Okay, so I got to be careful because you know this is going to be a six-week course and it's only supposed to be one. And so here we are. Jesus came and he lived on this earth. He worked with his dad, and at 30 years old, Jesus went and John the Baptist was baptizing. So Jesus walked over, and when he was being baptized, we see this in Luke chapter 3, verse 21 through 23. When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized while he was while he prayed. The heaven was opened, the Holy Spirit descended upon him in a bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven saying, you are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased. Now Jesus himself began, everybody shout began, began his ministry about 30 years of age. You see, Jesus did no mighty miracles until he was anointed. Why is that? Well, because Jesus said, greater works shall you do. If Jesus did all the works he did because he was God in the flesh, then you and I could never do any of the works because you and I are not God in the flesh. But because Jesus was all man, all God in the same flesh, Philippians chapter 2 says he gave up all of his heavenly glory to come down here and live as a man. It was not until Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit that the Spirit of God descended upon him. I want to remind you, the Spirit of God descended upon him. Why? This is still old covenant. Many people don't realize that. When's the old covenant and the new covenant begin? The resurrection, that's right. Everyone thinks the Old Testament's Malachi or Malachi if you're Italian. It's not true. The last book of the Old Testament is the end of every single gospel. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. When Jesus rose from the dead, that's when the Old Covenant stopped. That's when the Old Testament was shifted to the New Testament. So it wasn't until the death and resurrection that the New Testament was actually launched. Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how God anointed. So we know that when Jesus was baptized in water, when he came out, the Spirit of God came upon him like a dove, not that he was a dove, came upon him like a dove, and the Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. The Bible says in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, and let's read that. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And who went about doing good, healing all those oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. You see, this is the powerful part. All the signs and wonders that Jesus did not begin until he was anointed. Now that's powerful for us because you and I have the anointing dwelling where? In us. So the same works that Jesus did are the same works that you can do. And until we actually believe that, then we actually think of ourselves as weak, floundering people hoping to make it by and hoping Jesus is going to sound the trumpet and we're going to go home before all hell breaks loose. I want you to know that the reason you're here is because God needs you here to lay hands on sick people, to cast out devils, to move in the supernatural power of God so that people will look to Jesus and be saved. That's why you're here. And that's what God wants to do through your life. Jesus declared that the anointing was upon him due to the work of God. Luke chapter 4, verse 18, "For the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me." Who anointed him? The Spirit of the Lord. "The Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, proclaim the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those that are oppressed." Jesus didn't do any miracles until he was anointed. I love the fact that Jesus said that in Romans chapter 8, verse 11, "But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he will quicken your mortal body by that same Spirit." Now the same Spirit dwells in you, you can do what Jesus did. John chapter 14, verse 12, "Most assuredly," which means without question, "I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works will he do, because I go to the Father." The word "greater" there doesn't mean better, because what better can you do than raise somebody from the dead? The word "greater" there means more. Every single one of us in this room are called to do more works than Jesus did. I love the fact that Jesus looked at a group of people one time and said, "Listen, if you don't believe me, believe the works that I did." The works that we do, the supernatural power that's released through us, the anointing that's released through us, will do things that cannot be done naturally. They cannot deny the power of God when the anointing touches their life. Those people that were healed down in Mexico this last week, they will never be able to deny that Jesus healed their body. They can't deny it. The power of God has changed them. See, the power of God changes lives. We quoted the scripture last week in Corinthians. I believe it's 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul said, "I don't come to you with words of great man's wisdom, but I come to you with the power and the demonstration." What's the word? Demonstration of the Holy Spirit, that your faith will not be built upon the wisdom of man, but upon the power of God. When somebody is saved, when the anointing changes their life, that when God touches them with the anointing, they cannot deny the supernatural power of God. And that's where you and I need to get to an understanding. We're all waiting for the evangelist to come in. We're all waiting for the pastor to spit in his hand and lay it on your head. And I want you to know that that's not what God's plan is. God's plan is not for you and I to wait for somebody else. God's plan is you. You are the plan of God. You are the anointed of God. You, God has called to lay hands on the sick. You, God has called to cast out devils. You are anointed with that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Every single one of us in this room are postured for the supernatural power of God through the anointing of the Holy Spirit to bring transition and change wherever we are. Amen. I'll say it myself. Now we know that the anointing can be measured. This is important. Not everybody has the same anointing, or not everybody has the same amount of anointing. Well, why is that? Well, because we all start with a measure. Now, the Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 34, "For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For God does not give the Spirit by measure." He's talking about Jesus, how Jesus did not have the anointing by measure, which means he had full blown. The same Spirit that dwells in us is the same Spirit that raised him from the dead. The same Spirit that used Jesus in the anointing is the same Holy Spirit that's dwelling inside of us. Elisha received a double portion. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9. "And so it was when they had crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, 'Ask what I may do for you before I am taken away.' And Elisha said, 'Let me have a double portion of your Spirit be upon me.'" So every Christian is anointed. But what you find is the anointing does not increase until you start to use it. Until you start to use the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and that's what the anointing is for. Rod Parsley walked into work one day, and his secretary's, "Hallelujah!" She's, "Hallelujah!" speaking in tongues and shaking under the Spirit of God. And he says, "Woman, what are you doing?" "Oh, the anointing is on me." He said, "Then type, woman, type." A lot of us look at the anointing as, wow, I feel the uchi-guchis, or I can feel the presence of the Lord. I literally, physically, tangibly feel him on my body. That's awesome. But the anointing is not for you to feel. The anointing is to do work. And this is another reason why many believers, the anointing is not strong, is because they do not do anything for Jesus. They don't work for God. They want the uchi-guchis, they want the feeling, they want the goosebumps, the Holy Ghost goosebumps, whatever you want to call them. They like the tangible presence of the Holy Spirit, the tangible presence of God. That's awesome. But the reason the tangible presence of God is there, the reason the Holy Ghost goosebumps come upon you, the reason you tangibly feel the presence of the Lord, the reason the anointing abides within you is to do work. And the more you use the anointing, the more the anointing increases. It doesn't deplete, it increases. So the challenge is getting the believers back to believing that God's purpose for their life is more than sucking air, dying, and going to heaven. Because that's what we've got believers to believe. You are not somebody to suck air. I said it last week. Turn to somebody and say, I'm a minister. Tell somebody, I'm a minister. That's right. You're a minister of the gospel of Christ. The Bible says the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. You see, the Lord wants to start using you in the supernatural exploits of heaven. What Jesus did, open blind eyes, open deaf ears, make the lame to walk and the blind, you know, he wants to use you in all these exploits. But the problem is, if you don't believe it's for you, then you'll never step out and do it. So you are anointed. Shout, I'm anointed. We know the anointing abides within you, so it doesn't leave. But the problem with most believers is that the anointing remains in such a small amount in their life because they never exercise the anointing, because they never exercise the power of God. They never learn how to move in the power of Jesus. Moving in the power of Jesus demands you to move. Moving in the power of Jesus demands you to move. So, The sitting saint is not the plan of heaven. The purpose for you coming here is not so you can feel the uchi-guchis every Sunday and get a feel-good sermon and go home. The purpose for church is to equip you for the work of the ministry. That's the work of the what? Turn to someone and say, I'm a minister. The work of the ministry. You are called to ministry. That means the people that God has placed you in, the sphere of influence he's placed you in, he's put you there. The job that you have, he's put you there to have influence in people's lives. Not fleshly influence, because what does that actually accomplish? The purpose is that you'll start moving in the power of God, increase the anointing in your life. I pray this, that God will create a 10-foot circumference around me of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. That when I walk into the presence of individuals, they will be touched by the presence of the Lord, touched by the anointing of God, that people will be freed, that people will be healed with nobody even touching them. We know that's possible. We'll see that in a little bit. So it's imperative that you understand you're anointed for a reason, to do work. Amen. Work. Amen. Somebody said to me one time, I can't stay at your church. And I said, why? All you do is push, 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 push. Exactly. Of course I'm going to push you. Of course I'm going to try to make you work. Why? Because that's what you're made for. You were made to work. You were made to move in the anointing. You were made to house the Holy Spirit, or you wouldn't have a spirit. You were made to flow in the power of God. You were made to see the signs and exploits of heaven be released through your life through the authority in Jesus' name. You were made for that. But because so many believers don't believe that, we have a bunch of sitting saints that do nothing for the Lord. And while souls are dying and going to hell and the sick are not healed, the devils are running loose and rampant. And it's time for the body of Christ to step up and say, listen, I'm the minister of the gospel in this location. One time, I worked for my dad. And we were working at a house in Athol, Massachusetts. And it was owned by lesbians. And so I would walk in the house in the morning, and one of them was always still there. And when I walk into the house, you could feel, and actually there's an aroma to a demonic spirit of homosexuality. There's an aroma. You can smell them. And there's an aroma of homosexuality. Oh, yes. There's an aroma of homosexuality. And many times, I might not be able to look at somebody and tell they're gay, but I can literally smell that they're gay. I can smell it in the spirit. Because that demon has an aroma. And so what's amazing to me is I walked into the house, you could smell, I didn't know they were gay at that point in time, I could smell the aroma of lesbianism, of homosexuality, and she left. My dad went out to the truck to get a tool, and I stood up and I said, all right now, I'm here during the daytime, in the name of Jesus, you know the anointing, get out. Now, those demons had a right to come back when those ladies came back, because that's their house. But while they're gone, excuse me, I control the atmosphere here. The devils don't recognize you. They recognize the anointing in you. They recognize the authority in you. And when you and I step up and start moving the authority and the power of God, things, atmospheres start to change. The power of God is released, and people are changed forever in the name of Jesus. I love that stuff. I could preach on that all day long. And so each one of us, we need to learn how to increase the anointing in our life. So how many of you are anointed? Not everybody is, okay. How many of you are saved? We'll start there. Very good. How many of you are anointed then? Amen. Very good. Everyone here is anointed. So how do I increase that to be used more by the power of God? Well, let's start talking about it. Number one, if you want to increase the anointing in your life, you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You need to speak in other tongues. You need to. Do I need that to go to heaven? Absolutely not. But you need that to increase the anointing in your life. How do I know this? Well, I want to remind you, in John chapter 20, Jesus breathed on them and they received the Spirit. That's when the disciples actually got saved like we got saved. I want to remind you that the disciples lived in the old covenant with Jesus, and it wasn't until he died and rose from the dead that the new covenant was released. And after Jesus rose from the dead, he spent 40 days with his disciples, and he took them and he breathed on them. Really, they got saved just like we did. Their spirit became alive just like ours. But then he said to them, go tarry in Jerusalem till you receive the promise of the Father. He said, go and wait for the promise of God. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you shall receive power. The word there is dunamis, supernatural power. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. You see, we've been called to be witnesses. We've been called, the word witness there actually means martyr. That we've been called even to the place of martyrdom, and the power, the dunamis, the supernatural power of God will always move on your behalf. Amen. I'll say it myself. Acts chapter 2, verse 4, God did not tell them to start the church until what? Until they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 2, verse 4, but they were in the same house, let's read it, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so today, I want you to recognize that we all need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We all need to speak with other tongues. It doesn't get you to heaven. It doesn't mean you're a better Christian, but what it does mean is you have more power. Shout more power. Shout it out loud. Shout, I want more power. I can shout louder than you. Shout, I want more power. Yeah, that's right. So you need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Speak with other tongues. It is your next step for more power. And I don't know about you. I want to do the works of God. Listen, you'll never have more fun than when you lay hands on somebody and they get healed. It's a lot of fun. I'm talking like, now listen, I don't lay hands on people because I'm a preacher. I love finding people. I prayed for a person at Tops one day. I've prayed for people on the streets. I'm talking right here in our town. I remember one time I was praying for a mayor. And the Holy Spirit showed me, word of knowledge, that they were sick. And I looked at the mayor and I said, listen, Can I pray for you? And she said, yes. I said, let me pray. Father, Lord, I thank you that you showed me this sickness that's in her body. Now I pray in the name of Jesus that you heal her. And she was freaking out. Why? Because she hadn't even told her husband she was sick. But Jesus knows her better than her husband. And God healed her. I want you to see that God is able to do abundantly above all you could even ask or imagine. But you've got to position yourself to be used. Turn to someone and say, the anointing is for work. Amen. It's about work. If you're not going to work, the anointing will remain small. I got to work. And the more you work the works, I love that verse, work the works of God. The more you work the works of God, the more you work in the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the more the anointing increases in your life, and therefore you're going to be used in a greater measure and a greater way. What's really cool is not only that the anointing increased in the life, Peter stood up, preached the gospel that day, 3,000 men got saved, but we find in Acts chapter 4 another really cool thing where they were refilled. Turn to someone and say, you got to get refilled. So it's not just that you're going to get filled with the Holy Ghost. If you want to increase in the anointing, you got to stay full. So here's water. I'm going to use it.